Well, tonight we're in Matthew chapter 26, and we're in the examination passages on Christ. We went through the prophecies of Christ, so we're going through examination passages. You know, when God established the Passover in Israel, he told the Israelites, he said that you're to take a lamb without spot, without blemish, and bring it into your house on the 10th day of the month. And then you were to keep that lamb in the house until the 14th day of the month. You were to examine that lamb for any defects, not just outward defects, but inward defects. And so as Jesus prepares to go to the cross, we see a number of examinations that are done on Jesus. You know, and we're going to see that tonight. We're going to see this coming Sunday, we're going to be talking about the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed and he wrestled with God in prayer before he went to the cross. But tonight we're going to see directly after Gethsemane what God has done and the examination tonight. So let's turn our focus on Jesus. Matthew chapter 26, we'll be reading together verses 47 through 56. Matthew 26, verses 47 through 56. It says, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they, and laid hands on Jesus, and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, and drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priests, and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." May God bless the reading of his word. I want to start at the end of this in verse number 56. It says, all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And it doesn't quote a specific scripture, but it says the scriptures of the prophets were fulfilled. You know, the Bible says that Jesus often told his disciples that the scriptures spoke of him. Jesus said in John 5:39, he said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are what testify of me." The scriptures teach of Christ. Everything you see in the Old Testament was a foreshadowing for the Christ who was coming. Everything that was done in the temple, the lamb without spot, without blemish, was the Jesus who would one day come and be sacrificed for our sins. God showed that through the different things. Jesus said in John 5:46, he said, "If you believed Moses," speaking of the first five books of the Bible, he said, "you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you don't believe his writings, you will not receive my word." Right. Jesus is the Bible, and the Bible is Jesus. Amen. He's the Messiah who was prophesied who came, and he's the only Messiah who is ever going to come. So as we examine the scriptures tonight, we're going to look at Jesus as the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb without spot, without blemish. He's the Lamb that was chosen on the 10th day of the month and sacrificed on the 14th day. He was a lamb that underwent a lot of examination. And the first thing I want you to notice about Jesus is this. Jesus came to do the will of his Father, though he was betrayed. In Matthew 26, 47 through 50, it says, "Judas, one of the 12, came with a great multitude of swords and stakes from the chief priests and elders of the people. Judas came out to betray Christ. He betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. That would be the price of a slave back in those days. They said that was worth about $90 is what they betrayed him for. And Judas, when he came, Judas, the coward that he was, he said, "I'm going to betray Jesus with a kiss. I'm going to kiss him on the cheek." He said, "I'm going to kiss." You know, the Bible tells us that we're to greet one another with a holy kiss. Did y'all know that? That's mentioned four times in the scripture that I found. Romans 16:16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 13:12. Greet one another with a holy kiss. 1 Thessalonians 5:26. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. Now, this don't mean on the mouth, by the way, people. This means on the cheek. A holy kiss was a sign of love and respect. And when somebody had a rabbi or a teacher that they followed, they would often come to that teacher and kiss that teacher on the cheek to show that they respected him and would listen to him. This man called Judas, the Bible tells us in Luke 22 that Satan entered into Judas, name Iscariot, and he went his way and betrayed Jesus. Satan came into this man. Now you ask yourself, how in the world could Satan come into a person? And I tell you this, Satan comes into people who are not surrendered to Christ.
Amen.
The devil will come into a vacuum. Now, if you belong to Jesus and God is in you, the Holy Spirit's in you, the devil ain't going to get in you. He ain't going to have. But let me tell you something. If you're pretending to belong to Jesus, if you're showing all the outward signs like Judas did, if you're looking good how you dress and how you talk, but then you live a totally different way, and whenever you leave God's house, the devil can get into you. And that's what happened with Judas. The devil got into him. The devil got into Judas, and Judas decided to betray Jesus. We read this last week in Matthew 26, in verse 14 and 15. The Bible tells us that Judas went out and went to the chief priest, and he asked him, he said, "What will you give me if I deliver him to you?" And the reason that Judas did that was that a woman came in while Jesus was eating and busted an alabaster box and began to anoint the master and praise him and prepare him for burial. The devil hates to see Jesus lifted up. The devil hates that. You know, the purpose of the Christian is to glorify God with everything we have. We're to glorify God. Everything we do ought to be to the glory of God. We ought to do that because God saved us and He gave us a wonderful place to go to. I can't hardly wait to see my mansion. And y'all, God has done so much for us, but He wants us to glorify Him. We're to live our lives for Him. Judas didn't do that. Judas decided that he was going to kiss Jesus. There's an interesting passage over in Psalms 2, verses 11 and 12, and you might want to write that down. Psalm 2, verses 11 and 12 says this: "Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way." Kissing the Son is a symbol of receiving Christ as Lord and Savior. And when Judas went up and he kissed Jesus, he used a beautiful action. He used a mark of love to betray the master and to turn him over to the evil. Even though Judas did this, I want you to notice how Jesus responded to Judas. Whenever Judas come up and kissed him on the cheek, Jesus said, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" I want you to think about it. He said, "Friend." If we're betrayed, we want to say enemy. We want to hurt people back, don't we? But Jesus didn't want to hurt anybody back. Jesus had love in his heart. Jesus will be a friend to anybody who will come to him. You know, I love that song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," don't we? God loves us, and He wants to reach out to anyone. If Judas had turned to Jesus, even at that moment, Jesus could have saved him. He said, "Friend, wherefore have you come? Why are you here? Why have you come to this place?" Jesus told us in Matthew 5:44, He said, we're to love our enemies, to bless those that do bad to us, to do good to those who do evil to us. He said, do good to them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your fathers in heaven. For if you love them that love you, what reward have ye? Do not the publicans have even the same? Jesus did exactly the same thing. He rewarded Judas with a friend. He said, "Friend, why have you come?" Jesus reached out to Judas. But Judas, he betrayed Christ and he wouldn't repent. You know, so often I stand up here preaching about the cross of Christ and the need to receive the cross. And I see people fight that cross and they don't want to surrender to God. They don't want to give their lives to God. And I see them do that. You know, Judas stands as a testimony to what happens when you reject Christ. Right after he betrayed Christ in Matthew chapter 27, we'll see that when we get to the next chapter. But in Matthew 27, 3 through 5, it says, Judas that betrayed Jesus when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and he brought the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders. He said, "I have sinned in that I betrayed innocent blood." And the priest said, "What is that to us? It doesn't matter to us." You know, Judas, the Bible says, repented himself. He didn't turn to God. He didn't give himself to God. He gave himself to himself. He was sorry that for what he's done. And a lot of people, when they sin, they're sorry that they're caught in their sin. But they don't go to God for repentance. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to repent of sin. To turn it over to Jesus. Amen. To let Jesus have all of your life. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
And to stand clean before God knowing that Jesus paid it all for you. That's a wonderful thing. You know, right after this, Judas repenting himself, the Bible said when he couldn't get satisfaction that way, he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple. He departed and he hung himself. He killed himself. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And beloved, it's always death. There's never a time you can play with sin where it doesn't come back and bite you. It's like playing with a rattlesnake. You might get away with it for a while. Jimmy tells me he picks up rattlesnakes sometimes. When Jimmy does, I'll be nowhere near Jimmy. Amen.
Amen.
But sin, you can't handle sin and not be harmed by it. Sin will destroy you, and sin destroyed him. Jesus, even though he was betrayed, he called Judas friend. And he's extended love to him. I'm so glad that my master loves me even when I fail him.
Amen.
Aren't you?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that even though you're imperfect, Jesus is still perfect in his love?
Amen.
What a great God we serve. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is going to do the will of his Father, though he's empowered. You know, the text says that there is a great multitude of people that are gathered around him. And they're gathered around with staves and they think that they've got the upper hand. And right then, we look at verses 50 and 52, it says, they came and laid hands on Jesus. That laid hands means they grabbed him. They didn't pat him on the back, they grabbed him. They seized him. They took him. And it says, one of them which was with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. And Jesus told him, he said, put up your sword. Now, if you go over to John 18, verses 10 through 11, you'll know who this one is. Because John 18, verses 10 and 11 tells us it's Simon Peter. There's a little bit of Simon Peter in every one of us, isn't it?
Amen.
Always ready to jump out there. Sometimes we act without thinking. Sometimes we speak without thinking, like I did a while ago with Donald, my friend. I think what happened, I was thinking of Donald Sisk and I looked at you. But we misstep. We do the wrong things. Well, Peter reached out his sword. He was the only one that had a sword, according to John 18. And he pulled that sword out and he smote the high priest's servant and he cut off his right ear. The man's name was Malchus. Malchus. You know, that's a terrible thing to get your name in the Bible on, isn't it? That you got an ear lopped off. But we know his name. His name was Malchus. God loved him enough to write his name down there. And Malchus, he could have walked around the rest of his life with one ear. But the Bible says, Jesus told him, he said, put that sword down. He picked the ear up right then, and he put the ear back on Malchus's head. Now, I love that picture right there, because I can imagine what Malchus looked like when he saw that. He said, put up your sheath. But listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 18, verse 11, he said, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? What is the cup that Jesus is going to drink? The cup, and we're going to talk about this Sunday. The cup that Jesus is going to drink is the cup of God's wrath. You see, God is a holy God. And God, sin is an affront to God. We're going to study this Sunday whenever we talk about Gethsemane. Sin is not a trifle with God. We make sins, big sins and little sins. Small sins and tall sins. But you know, every sin is an affront to a holy God. And sin is something that the Bible says God will pour out his wrath on one day. He'll pour out the cup of his wrath. The Bible says in Jeremiah 25:15, God said, "Take from my hand this cup of wrath and make all the nations to whom I send it drink." In Isaiah 51:17, God said, "You have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath. You will drink to the dregs the bowl, the cup of staggering." In Revelation 14, it tells us that whosoever receives the mark of the beast will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger. God's anger against sin is unending. And when you sin against a holy God, then what you do is you offend someone who cannot forgive. Sin has to be paid for. The reason Jesus went to that cross was to drink the cup of wrath for us. We stand blessed before God because Jesus took the full payment of our sin on himself. He drank that bitter cup. You know, I've ate and drank a lot of good things, and I've ate and drank some bad stuff. Y'all ever get something in your mouth you wish you never had there?
Amen.
I've had some good stuff, and I've had some bad stuff. I ate a deviled egg one time, and I think the devil was in it. Because it wasn't good. And I tried to hide it on my plate. And I won't tell you what church I had it at, but it wasn't this one. Amen. But I've had bad stuff in my mouth. But Jesus had to drink that cup to the end. He said, "This cup which my Father has given me, I must drink it." Now you say, well, Jesus is trapped in this. He's got a bunch of people around him. They've got staves. There's a great multitude. There's a bunch of people here. There's a lot of people here. And Jesus can't get away from this. But I want y'all to understand, Jesus is not forced to drink this cup. Jesus said in Matthew 26:53, he said, Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he presently shall give me more than 12 legions of angels? Jesus said, if I were to pray to my Father right now and say, Lord, send me 12 legions of angels. I used to think that was 12,000 angels. I was wrong. But you know how many angels is in a legion? 6,000 were in a Roman legion. If you take 6,000 and you multiply that by 12, Jesus said, I can ask my Father for more than 72,000 angels. Now I'm going to do the math because I like mathematics and I like to think about stuff like that and I like to figure things out. There was that one angel went against the armies of Assyria in the Old Testament and killed 185,000 people in one night. What could 72,000 angels do? Well, let me break it down smaller. If one legion of angels or 6,000 angels were released, they could kill 1,110,000,000 people in one night. 1,110,000,000. If 12 legions of angels were released, they could kill 13,320,000,000 people in one night. 13 billion. Do you know how many people are on planet Earth? In 2016, they said there was 7.4 billion people on planet Earth. If Jesus had prayed, God could have sent enough angels to wipe out all human life on this earth in one night. That's what Jesus said. And my Jesus doesn't lie.
Amen.
Nobody made him go to the cross. That big crowd of people standing around with staves and swords, they had nothing on Jesus. Jesus had the bigger army. It's just Jesus would not enact it. Jesus said, how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be? Jesus had to go to to that cross. Jesus didn't need Peter's sword. What a puny weapon that must have been whenever they thought about all that. He didn't need Peter's sword. He didn't need any of those disciples around him at that time. But he loved them, and he loves you, and he loves me. Jesus told him in verses 55 to 56, it says, in that same hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, and I want you to notice it says, it's not a multitude, it's multitudes. They were scared of Jesus. They sent a bunch of people after Jesus. It wasn't one multitude, it was multitudes. And Jesus asked them this. He said, are you come out against me as a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Jesus did what he did because he loves you. Jesus did what he did because he loves the lost. Jesus did what he did because it's the only way we could stand right before God. What a wonderful Savior we have. Amen. What an awesome Savior. I think Jesus deserves a hand, don't you?
Amen.
Let's give Jesus a hand. What an awesome God we serve. As this ends, it says, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And he would go forward by himself from this moment on. But Jesus would do it to the very end. I thank God for my salvation. How about you?
Amen.
Let's go out and tell others about Jesus. I've enjoyed being with y'all tonight. I hope you saw the Lamb. We're going to see the Lamb again Sunday morning. We're going to examine him again Sunday night as he goes through the trials. Y'all come, bring somebody with you. Let's pack the house for God's sake, not for my sake. Amen. Let's glorify Jesus out there. What a mighty God we serve. I'm going to ask y'all, do we want to do a final hymn, Jerry?
It's up to you.
Let's do a final hymn. Let's do an acapella or something.
That we have no choice on.
We can always
do one. Somebody knows how to play piano and you're not telling me. No? No problem. Well, let's do another.